Well, good evening, everyone. Well, that was pre-prepared. I think so. Sounded pretty good to me. Now, you'll have to forgive me because I have forgotten again and I'm really tired because I have a newborn. I have a very great excuse. I can't remember if you guys stay up or not. Am I meant to send you down? Okay, you guys can sit down. That's all good. Thanks. I'm tempted, eh? Thanks for leading us in worship, guys. That was awesome. That was great. Why don't you guys give them a hand? I love worshiping God. It's so good. It's better than Red Bull. Way better than Red Bull. Oh, we're going to have a conversation later. Although Mother is terrible. I've never been that much of a fan of most energy drinks, to be honest. Hey, you guys can sit down. I'll make you guys stand the whole service. Now that we're on that theme. So tonight, I want to get really raw with you guys. Okay? I haven't actually preached on this before. Because it wasn't that long ago, and I've only really just stopped processing it. But basically, is it okay if I get raw with you guys tonight? Get really honest with you? Okay, cool. I'm going to be really raw and vulnerable. Excuse me. So a few years ago, Jessica and I were going through a very difficult season in our lives. It wasn't just that we were going through some stuff like, I'd been through some stuff before, like, you know, when I was in high school and since then. And, you know, we all go through stuff, yeah. We all go through some bad stuff. That's just normal. Everyone has stuff, but this was different. People say look on the bright side and see the silver lining. And I knew all of that stuff. But during this season, I was literally saying, the heck do you do when there's no silver lining? When everything good that you have is suffering under the weight of so much bad. Just about everything that was going on was going soul-crushingly wrong. And the things that were okay, it was only because we were throwing everything that we had at it to try and keep it alive. At the time, we were battling through infertility issues. During this time, I worked 4 different jobs. Bombshell after bombshell kept hitting the ministries that we were running. We had a miscarriage. We had intense financial difficulties. And to make it worse, we had no friends and no family nearby. Basically, you name an area and we needed breakthrough in it desperately. We tried talking to people about it occasionally, but I think there was only one time that people actually believed that there wasn't really anything good, like that it was as bad as I was saying it was. Everyone just told us to look on the bright side, or alternatively, that life is seasonal and we just had to wait for the next season. But we were waiting for years and the seasons didn't really seem to change. Every time it felt like breakthrough was coming or just around the corner, and it just didn't happen. There was one awesome thing that happened during that time, and that's that Kayla was born. I'm not going to lie, Kayla was pretty awesome. But even that was the one awesome thing that happened during that time, Kayla's birth, and she was great, but she was a miracle because the infertility issues that we were having were still not fixed. Even then, things were still complicated further by her health problems that we were having, involving trips to pediatricians, etc. And right now, you're sitting there hoping that the story has a happy ending. Well, you're just going to have to wait and see. Yeah, I'm not going to give you spoilers. Now, I like to think that I did a pretty decent job of holding myself together during this time, but there were a couple of times where I just really couldn't stop myself from breaking down, one of which was reading Ephesians chapter 6, Therefore, put on the whole armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after having done everything, to stand. Well, that sums it up to a T, because we were just weathering the storm. That's what it felt like. We were just weathering the storm. We were just standing, trying to remain upright. The other time I couldn't hold myself together was when I was singing the song, The Stand. It was like, so I'll stand with arms high and heart abandoned. That's about the extent of my singing abilities, by the way. And I'm thinking, who am I kidding? You know, internally, I was a wreck. I was a burning out wreck. I'll tell you what I just didn't understand. Everyone was telling us, and for our entire Christian lives, everyone was telling us to pray for breakthrough, to trust in God, to wait for the season to pass, to be positive. We were doing all of those things as much as we were able to do. But we could feel that nothing was happening. We were just falling apart at the seams. And you know, God does use things that were intended for evil for good. And we did learn a lot during that season, a profound amount during that season. One of which is how much junk we can take and remain standing. But interestingly enough, the main things that I learned through that whole season was in fact learnt in the breakthrough. And that's what I want to share with you tonight. I want to share what I learnt in the breakthrough that we got. While we were in the midst of it all, I felt compelled to do something that went completely against, or I felt like it went completely against, everything I had ever been taught in church. I had been praying as often and as hard as I could for breakthrough. And it just felt like it wasn't coming. And then I felt compelled by God to actually stop praying. Now, that stopped me in my tracks. My thoughts were like, but that's completely not what you're supposed to do. The Bible says we're meant to pray without ceasing. How is stopping praying, like ceasing praying, praying without ceasing? But I didn't need to stop praying full stop. That's not what God wanted. I needed to stop praying for the breakthrough. Now, that didn't change my thoughts on the matter. Why would I stop praying for breakthrough when I really, really, really need breakthrough? Anyway, I listened, and I actually stopped praying for breakthrough, and I actually decided that besides praying for people in a ministry context, if someone came up that needed prayer, you know, or needed to bring something to God, I would pray about it, or that I needed to bring to God. If something new came up, I would pray about it. I'd give it to God, and I'd give it to Him once, and then I'd stop. Somewhere in there, when I had stopped praying, I realized what one of my problem was. One of the most important things that God values about us is our free will. He respects the right that He has given us to choose whether we are in a relationship with Him and how involved He is in our lives. And God is a gentleman. He won't get involved in something that we are saying no to Him about. If we are refusing Him entry in an area, He's not going to enter that area. Part of bringing our requests to God is giving whatever it is to Him, giving Him permission to work in that area. Somewhere in my fervent prayer for breakthrough, I now realize that I had started taking back permission. While I was praying fervently for breakthrough, I now realize that I was actually taking back permission from God while I was praying. All of these things weighing on my mind and my spirit, and it's kind of hard for you not to be that way when you have that much bad stuff going on. But I realized that every time I prayed for breakthrough, at least in the circumstance I was in, I was taking back something I had already given to Him and then giving it back to Him. I was praying and I'm like, God, I need this breakthrough. Here, have again. That's essentially what I was doing every time I prayed. And my notes just skipped to the bottom. Spoiler alert. I'm like, no, they can't see that yet. So what happened was I was doing the right thing. I was praying. I was praying passionately and fervently for the breakthroughs that I needed, and I was giving them to him, but I was taking them back every time I prayed about it. And I was praying a lot. God, have it, but God, I need breakthrough. Here, have it. God, I need breakthrough. Here, have it. I realized that God wanted to work, but what I needed to give him, I needed to give him the whole thing and then let go of it. God wanted to work, but I actually needed to release it into his hands for him to do that. By constantly hanging on to my situation and constantly praying for breakthrough, I was failing to let go of our situation and give God permission to work. During this time when I stopped praying for breakthrough, it really needs to be noted that I did not stop praying. I am not telling you to stop praying. Not going to do that. While I was compelled to stop praying for breakthrough, once I had brought my situation to God, I also felt compelled to begin praying another way. I actually decided to only thank God while I was praying. I said that the wrong way. Got to reverse that context. I decided that while I was praying, I was going to thank God and do nothing else while I was praying. And I decided to do that for a full year. Besides praying in a ministry context and bringing new things to God, I felt to only thank him in my prayer life. That's what I felt compelled to do. I haven't tried to convince anyone else to do that because it was what was right for me in my situation. Now, I asked God about it. I was a bit quizzical. Why am I doing this? But I just decided to go for it anyway. Now, I have an illustration for what I am about to say. It's a video clip from the movie Inside Out. Has anyone seen this movie? Okay, yeah, a few people. Fantastic. I love this scene. It's great. But there's a message in this scene that's a little bit subtle, and you may or may not pick up with it, and that's okay. Basically, if you haven't seen the movie, it's actually about emotions inside people's heads, and the main characters are actually the emotions. The emotions are joy, sadness, disgust, fear, and anger, and they're very recognizable by their color. Can I have the clip, please?
So, as it turns out, the green trash can is not recycling. It's for greens, like compost and eggshells. Mm. And the blue one is recycling. And the black one
is... Riley is acting so weird. Why is she acting so weird?
What do you expect? All the islands are down.
Joy would know what to do.
That's it. Until she gets back, we just do what Joy would do.
Great idea. Anger, fear, disgust. How are we supposed to be happy?
Hey, Riley, I've got good news. I found a junior hockey league right here in San Francisco. And get this, tryouts are tomorrow after school. What luck, right?
Hockey.
Uh-oh, what do we do?
Guys, here, you pretend to be Joy.
Won't it be great to be back out on the ice?
Oh, yeah, that sounds fantastic.
What was that? That wasn't anything like Joy.
Because I'm not Joy?
Yeah, no kidding.
Did you guys pick up on that?
Uh-huh.
Sure did. Something's wrong.
Should we ask her?
Let's probe, but keep it subtle so she doesn't notice.
So, how was the first day of school?
She's probing us.
I'm done. You pretend to be Joy.
What? Okay.
It was fine, I guess. I don't know.
Oh, very smooth. That was just like Joy.
Something is definitely going on.
She's never acted like this before. What should we do? We're going to find out what's happening, but we'll need support. Signal the husband.
Ahem.
Uh-oh, she's looking at us. What did she say?
What?
Sorry, sir. No one was listening.
Is it garbage night? We left the toilet seat up. What? What is it, woman? What?
He's making that stupid face again.
I could strangle him right now.
Signal him again.
Ah, so, Riley, how was school?
Seriously?
Oh, are you kidding me?
For this, we gave up that Brazilian helicopter pilot?
Boo! I'll be Joy.
School was great, all right?
Riley, is everything okay?
Sir, she just rolled her eyes at us.
What is her deal?
All right, make a show of force. I don't want to have to put the foot down.
No, not the foot.
Riley, I do not like this new attitude.
Oh, I'll show you attitude, okay?
No. Stay happy!
What is your problem? Just leave me alone.
Sir, reporting high levels of sass.
Take it to DEFCON 2.
You heard that, gentlemen. DEFCON 2.
Listen, young lady, I don't know where this disrespectful attitude came from.
You want a piece of this, Pops? Come and get it!
Yeah, well...
Here it comes. Prepare the foot.
Keys to second position. Ready to launch on your command, sir.
Just shut up!
Fire!
That's it. Go to your room. Now.
Foot is down. The foot is down.
Good job, gentlemen. That could have been a disaster.
Well, that was a disaster.
Come, fly with me, Gacinha.
Oh, dear. That's great, isn't it? Okay, so there's actually a subtle message in there that you may or may not have picked up on. Not that message. Sorry? No, it wasn't. That's one of the key messages, naturally. The foot's down. I don't know if you picked it up, but who was in charge in the mum's head? Sadness. And who was in charge in the dad's head? Anger was. In Riley's head, the main character, the girl, Joy is always in charge. Even though some of the other ones take reins at some stage or another and they all chat, Joy is always in charge. But sadness is in charge in the mum's head and anger is in charge in the dad's head. And it's not the most obvious thing, but it's there and it carries with it certain implications, doesn't it? It's funny, and I love it, but the point of this clip is in the movie, the girl Riley at the time is making mostly sad memories. Up until that point, she's been making happy memories in her life, but now she's making mostly sad memories. But that whole time, the emotion that was in charge was still Joy. In the daughter's head, the emotion that was in charge the whole movie was Joy, and despite all of the things that she goes through, it was always Joy. That didn't actually change. You see, I had been convinced that in order to be healthy, or to be having a godly attitude, or whatever, I had to be filled with joy, to be looking on the bright side, and being happy despite my circumstances. And I was profoundly discouraged because I just couldn't get it. But I was going about it the wrong way. Trying to ignore my circumstances and be happy when so much was going wrong felt wrong. And instead, God didn't call me to ignore my feelings or pretend that I was all right. What was more important than being happy, more important than feeling great despite my circumstances, was what I put in charge. What did I place first? So in my prayer life, I felt compelled to place thankfulness to God first. My relationship with God and my thankfulness to Him needed to be on the throne of my emotions. I didn't need to be happy all the time, but everything did need to have the footnote, I have a good God. This wasn't something that was easy. This wasn't something that felt good. This wasn't me being a glass half full kind of person, because I'm not. This was an intensely difficult moment, choosing to put thankfulness before my emotions and before the dark place I was in. I made a conscious decision to put thankfulness, to God on the throne of my feelings. It basically meant that to start with, all I had to go on was, God, thank you that I'm married. And that's all I had. That was all I had when I started praying. That was all I could put my finger on. My prayer times were short. I thank God for everything I could think of to be thankful for at the time. Over time, more things got added to my very short list, until eventually my emotional state had improved enough that my circumstances weren't dictating my thoughts. Focusing on thanking God helped set me free from the things that were weighing me down and helped me with not taking back those things that I had already given to God. And let me tell you, every single area that we needed breakthrough in our lives saw breakthrough in that year, that one year. We got pregnant. Our finances grew. The ministries we were running grew. We made some really great friends. Some bad stuff still happened, but that's life. But I just gave them to God and let them go and kept thanking God for everything good that I had and kept going. The keys that I needed for breakthrough were actually giving God permission and letting it go and making a deliberate decision to put thankfulness first. I was struggling with trying to be an optimistic person, trying to be happy when everything was falling apart. I was trying to make the breakthrough happen by fervently praying when in reality I was preventing God from working because I wasn't letting go of those things. Psalm 37 has something really interesting to say about this. Could we have that on the screen, please? It says, "Trust in the Lord and do good. Then you will live safely in the land and prosper. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you your heart's desires. Delight yourself in God alone, not pray for your heart's desires. Trust in the Lord." Pastor Dave this morning was preaching on living post-victory, living from a place of victory. We rely on God. Our victory is in Jesus, and we need to be willing to let God handle our stuff. For me, that meant letting go of what I needed to change so that God could work on it. Delighting in God means putting our attention on everything that he has done for us and making a deliberate choice to put that first. Just for a sec, I'd like everyone to close their eyes. And if I could have the band come back up and join me, that would be great. You know, at the end of that year, a little while after actually, after the breakthroughs had come and things started changing in our circumstances again. Life changes, changes of seasons. God was closing doors and opening others. And everything was supernaturally falling into place. And it was amazing, but I had this conversation with God while I was in that place. And as was my custom, I started by thanking him. And I remember what I said to him. I said, "God, you shower me with such unmerited favor." And he said, "Such is life with me. Such is life." God really does want us to walk in victory, to live in it. It doesn't mean that stuff won't happen, but being deliberately thankful and giving things over to Jesus is what we need to do if we want to live in his victory. I wonder if there's some things tonight that you need to give him. Maybe some things that you have been hanging on to or trying to make happen that it's really up to God to make happen and you need to let it go. Maybe you're in a really intensely difficult season and you don't see an out. Maybe you're falling apart at the seams and you're just trying to hold yourself together. Maybe there's some things that you need to give God tonight, or maybe you just need God to point you in the right direction to be thankful. and how to be thankful. If that's you tonight, and you need to give some stuff to God, I'd like you to raise your hand because I want to pray for you. Awesome. Awesome. Fantastic. Is there anyone else? Awesome. That's great. I'm just going to pray quickly. Lord God, I just thank you so much for everything that you won for us on the cross, Lord God. Not just salvation, Lord God, but victory in every area of our lives, over death, over destruction. And thank you, Lord God, that you really do care about every detail of our lives. There's nothing that's too small for you, Lord God, and nothing that's too big. Lord, I just thank you so much for everything that you did in my life through that season. And Lord God, I just pray that you would take the things that these people are offering up to you right now, Lord God. Take those things and do something awesome with it. I won't presume to be wise enough to know the out in those situations. But I do know that you can handle it, God. So, Father, collectively as a group, we just give those things to you. And we thank you and praise you for the breakthrough that we know you will bring, whatever that is, Lord God. And we thank you so much that we are alive and that we have a good God and that we have so many things going for us, Lord God. There are so many things to be thankful for. But Lord, I just pray that if there's people here who are lost in these situations, that you would be their guiding light and that you would get them out of those dark places and that you would bring the breakthrough, Lord God, that they have been praying for and waiting for. Thank you, Lord God.